I am here to welcome you. My name is Barbara Fote, and I'm a member of the congregation here. Whatever brings you here, whether it is your custom to come, whether it's you're curious, or whether there is some crisis in your life for which you need a little solitude, or a friendly hug, we are here to provide all of that. God is here and is ready and waiting for you. And may you find peace here in this beautiful place. Peace with your neighbor, peace with your God, and peace with yourself. If you are here for the first time, I'm on the welcome team, and I will try to find you and make sure you get one of our welcome brochures. And everybody should have a yellow slip. If you would just grab that from your bulletin, here's the brochure, but here's the yellow slip. You'll see on one side it has attendance, and we would like to know who you are. And if you're new, we'd love to have some contact info to say thank you for being here. And then the other side is if you have a prayer request. And you can check whether you want it read or just in the newsletter or both. If you do have a prayer, those will be picked up by the ushers during the worship service. And if you don't, just hang on to it, and then you can just drop it right in the offering plate. Okay, I want to tell you about a couple of opportunities for service. We have a drumming workshop, I understand, after worship, and it is Brother Isanaya. Did I get that right? And Isanaya. Isanaya. Great. We are glad you're here, and so please feel free to stay for that drumming workshop after worship. We'll always have our soup and sermon chat in the fellowship hall there in the back. And I also wanted to remind you about the Sunday morning 9:30 Born a Crime discussion. That's a very interesting book that is going on. I think that is the announcements. Dale Fryer is our... Oh, Joyce, I forgot. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. I knew there was a reason I only had two announcements. Joyce is here to tell us about a very important announcement.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Joyce Flynn, and I coordinate Thanksgiving bags for the church. And yes, we are talking about Thanksgiving already. In 5 weeks from today, we will be packing Thanksgiving bags that will be distributed on the following Tuesday. So Thanksgiving is right around the corner. You can see our turkey, and you will be hearing more from me every Sunday between now and then. Starting next week, we will have feathers, turkey feathers, that you can choose from if you would like to sponsor a family for a Thanksgiving bag. And I will be sharing more information in the weeks to come. So look at your bulletin insert, and feel free to find me after church if you have any questions. Thanks.
Thank you. That's a great ministry that this church does for Thanksgiving bags. There are restrooms out these two doors. There's childcare also out this way. If you need it, the ushers in the back can certainly help you with anything else. And I would remind you of our safe sanctuary policy that children should always be accompanied throughout the building. And I believe that's it. And Dale is our liturgist for the day.
This is a busy place. Take a breath. The pulse of creation is singing the goodness of God and God's gift of goodness in all things. We become more aware of the beauty of all that is and tap into gratitude as our first task in creating more goodness in the world. God is good all the time, and all the time. Indeed, we gather to celebrate the goodness of God and all of God's creation. Let us give thanks for this opportunity to be together. I invite you to stand as you are comfortable and greet each other. Tell your neighbors what and who you are thankful for this morning. When the drummer gets louder, it's time to return to your seats. Just hang in there. We'll talk. If you could please take your seats as Amy introduces the song. Call to Worship uses the final line of the song we just heard as a sung response. The choir will sing it the first few times and join in as you feel comfortable. To worship is to heighten and expand our attention to God, to others, and to the world around us. We open all of our senses in a special way, seeing the divine in all things and in every direction. We are used to looking to the front of our space during worship, just as we often limit our perspectives in life to a single view. We will open our worship in this series by symbolizing our willingness to become more aware of life around us and aware that our lives are a part of the cycles and seasons of creation, constantly moving and growing. I invite you to stand now in spirit or in body, and feel free to sit down at any time as need be and make a quarter turn to your right as you stand.
Spirit, draw near.
When we dare to explore new directions, we discover new perspectives. Look to your right and left and see the people who are seated in front and behind you. Sometimes we only see our own slice of reality and don't open to the real experience others' points of view. To gather as community is to delight in the unique contributions of each one. Now I invite you to turn another quarter turn and face the back. Look towards the door at the back of our space that represents where we came in, the different rhythms of our lives. Some came from laid-back rhythms, some hectic and harried, but now we are here together and we take a moment to simply tune into the rhythm of this body, this community, this moment with God. Let's take a breath in. Then let it out, allowing any worries of what is left undone out there beyond those doors to be realized just for a while. Let us turn another quarter turn and feel free to join in the singing. Come to worship is to bring all of our lives. We face this fourth direction and know that all aspects of life, the good, the difficult, the things we are thankful for, and the grief and fear that we may be facing, are all welcome here. Nothing is hidden from God, and God welcomes it all to be transformed this day. Let us complete our turning to face the front of this room, where the light of Christ is coming into our midst. Christ, our light, is the center of this community, and when we turn to face that light in our midst, we see one another, for each one is created in the image and likeness of God. And so when we see one another, we see more of the divine light shine through. God's people said, Amen. Please remain standing. We're gathered here as one strong body, rejoicing together in the one who formed us out of the dust and called us very good. You may take a seat or stand as we sing For the Beauty of the Earth, hymn number 92, or on the screen. In this first week of our series on creation spirituality, we focus on the idea of original blessing. The universe and all life within it is fundamentally a blessing, fundamentally good, and created to flourish, including us. This doesn't prevent hardship and difficulties, but it does strengthen us as we go through those tough times. It allows us to deepen in faith and spirituality without fear. Life in all its joys and struggles is a blessing, which means it is something worth sharing. How might moving through our days with an eye for recognizing goodness and blessing transform our experience of life? Let us sing one more verse together in gratitude.
These words,
Creating God, you who spun the galaxies and breathed into us breath of life, open us to an awareness of the life coursing through us that is connected to all creation, so that we might become more tuned into your life force, feeling more vitality in our lives and more loving towards all. We praise you as the one in whom we have life and being. And all God's people say, Amen. And now, if we can invite the children to come down. I believe Miss Jeannie is here.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God so good to me. God cares for me. God cares for me, God cares for me, God so good to me. God loves me so, God loves me so, God loves me so, God so good to me.
Welcome. Did you guys hear that song? What'd they say? God is so good. God loves me so. They're talking about you, and you, and you, and me. Today we're talking about God's creation of the world. The Bible story starts with, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then God said, let there be light. The Bible goes on to describe the many wonderful things that God created. The sky, the seas, the land, the animals, the birds, the plants, the sun, moon, and stars. And after everything God created, God said, it is good. And then God created us, people, all the people of the world. The Bible says that God created people in God's own image. So I want you to look at yourself in these mirrors and what do you see? You see you. You see God's image. Now I want you to look around all the people up here and all the people out there. We are surrounded by God's image, by God's love. Now I want you to each take home a reminder of just how special you are. This little card says, how cool is it that the same God that created the mountains and the oceans and the galaxies looked at you and thought the world needed one of you too? Special people. So while you look at, he's too far away. While you look at that, let's have a prayer. Creator God, we thank and praise you for all the wonders of our world, from the majestic mountains to the tiny birds. We thank you for placing us here in your marvelous creation. Remind us daily that all of us are created in your image. Amen. So you can go back to whoever you came with and just drop the mirror, not drop, but place the mirrors back here.
Let us open our hearts and minds to God's loving spirit. If someone or something is on your heart today and you would like your prayer read as a part of worship, pull out that prayer slip and write that prayer on that prayer slip, and the ushers, as they walk down the aisle, will take those from you. We enter our prayer time today hearing water, river, spirit, grace.
sculpting me, in sculpting me. Water, river, spirit, grace, sweep over me, sweep over me. Regard the depths of your fingers traced in sculpting me, in sculpting me.
Each week we will explore, during our prayer time, a different version of the prayer Jesus taught. This first week we encounter a translation directly from the Aramaic, the language Jesus spoke. So let us pray together, as on the screen. O Birther, Father, Mother of the cosmos, focus your light within us, make it useful. Create your reign of unity now, your one desire then acts with ours, as in all light, so in all forms. Grant us what we need each day in bread and sight.
Loose the cords
of mistakes binding us as we release the strands we hold of others' guilt. Don't let surface things delude us, but free us from what holds us back. From you is born all ruling will, the power and the life to do, the song that beautifies all. From age to age it renews. I affirm this with my whole being. Truly power to these statements. May they be the ground from which all my actions grow. Amen. As we continue our time of prayer, we recognize with open hearts the pain that coexists with goodness and gratitude. We listen to the groans of the world, and the Spirit helps us to grieve and to intercede on behalf of all those who suffer, letting go of our fear that at times can make things worse. I invite you now, as you sit in your pew, to make a fist with your hands and imagine in those clenched fists is all that you are holding tightly. Fear, anxiety, worry, grief, loneliness, helplessness. It may be a specific circumstance that has tied you in knots at the moment. And now I invite you to slowly, slowly open your fists and imagine letting go into the loving embrace of the Spirit who transforms all things. And as we let go and open up, we see that now our hands and hearts are more ready to hold, with love, the concerns of others and the pain of the world. I invite you to place your open hands now on your heart. And in this silence, we lift up all those things difficult to put into words, but yet are still felt in the depths of our hearts.
We are here.
is working in and through all of us and our universe to renew every direction each day. Each moment offers opportunity to express our God-given creativity. We hear messages, ancient and new, that express and affirm the divine at work and encourage us in our collaboration with the divine. Our scripture this morning is Genesis chapter 1 and the first four verses of chapter 2. First, this. God created the heavens and earth, all you see, all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. God spoke,
light,
and light appeared. God saw that light was good and separated light from dark. God named the light day. God named the dark night. It was evening. It was morning, day one. God spoke.
Sky.
God made sky. God separated the water under sky from the water above sky, and there it was. God named the sky heaven. It was evening. It was morning, day two. God spoke.
Separate.
God put water beneath heaven, gathered land into one place, and there it was. God named the land earth. God named the pool water ocean, and God saw that it was good. God spoke.
Earth,
clean up.
And there it was. Earth produced green seed-bearing plants, all varieties, and fruit-bearing trees of all sorts. God saw that it was good. It was evening. It was morning, day three. Then God spoke,
light, come out.
And there it was. God made two big lights, the larger to take charge of day, the smaller to be in charge of night. And God made the stars. God saw that it was good. It was evening. It was morning, day four. God spoke.
Swarm the air and water.
God created huge whales and all the swarm of life in the waters, every kind and species of flying birds. God saw that it was good. God blessed them, prosper, reproduce. It was evening. It was morning, day five. God spoke.
Earth, generate life.
And there it was. Wild animals of every kind, cattle of all kinds, every sort of reptile and bug. And God saw that it was good. God spoke.
Let us make human beings in our image.
God created human beings. God created them God-like, reflecting God's nature. God created them in gender diversity. God blessed them.
Prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge.
God looked over everything God had made. It was good, so very good. It was evening. It was morning, day six. Heaven and earth were finished down to the last detail. By the seventh day, God had finished God's work. On the seventh day, God rested from all this work.
Yes.
God blessed the seventh day because on that day, God rested from the work. All the creating God had done.
And it was very good.
This is a story of how it all started, of heaven and earth when they were created. This is a word of God. Thanks be to God. All creation is a word of God. All creation speaks volumes of God. I didn't mention as I was doing the announcements, Pastor Alicia is away, and we are very grateful, Ted, for all your gifts today. Ted is going to be speaking now as our preacher.
Am I on, Stark? I guess I am. Okay. Well, I guess anybody who has vowed to themselves to read the whole Bible front to back has probably read today's scripture because it's the first two pages. In some ways, I think these two pages summarize the entire Bible. Dream big, work hard, work smart, and rest when you need to. The key takeaway, however, is goodness. God looked over all that God had created and called it good. Light, dark, good. Sky, water, land, good. Plants, trees, good. Sun, moon, good. Birds, fish, good. Animals, people, good. Rest, good. All of it, good, so very good. If creation is designed for goodness and the created, that's us, share in goodness with the Creator, then doesn't the rest of the Bible just fall into place? The Jewish Shema in Deuteronomy 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Micah 6, act justly. Love mercy and walk humbly with your God. Luke 10, love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 3, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one. These are all expressions of a creation in love with its creator, feeling its goodness, and vice versa. Genesis is not a science lesson. I'm not going to try to tell you that God's days are longer than our days, or that everything happened in exactly this order. The order of things is surprisingly accurate in relationship to scientific thinking. Genesis describes a primordial stew. The raging waters covered everything, and there was complete darkness. It turns out that that was actually true. The land didn't appear until the tectonic plates started rubbing together and volcanoes started erupting and land started to form. Genesis said God gathered the land into one place, and it turns out that our continents combine and separate about every 250 million years. We know that virtually every culture has a creation story that describes the action of a deity assembling the world as they know it and establishing a relationship between that deity and humankind. Our creation story differs in many ways because it's not as described as a battle between different gods or different forces, but it's an act of a beneficent God in love with creation. So it's interesting to take this story and create a hypothetical setting for it. The reason I chose the image of the earth shot from behind the moon is because it gives this view from afar. Maybe that's the perspective God had as God created. God doesn't appear to be alone in this because we hear conversations during the creation. We created them in our own image. In Scripture, we read of God's consort, Sophia, or wisdom. We read about cherubim, spirits, even devils as non-human beings existing with God. I wonder, is the earth and its creatures God's first creation, or is it one in a series that we haven't figured out the rest of? What did God's companions think of this venture? God finds out soon enough it's not going to work out the way that God had planned. Adam and Eve rebel. People get high on power and build the Tower of Babel. People start murdering each other, conniving against each other, and in general, not respecting the possibilities for goodness that were built into the creational plan. If Earth was God's coming out party, it didn't necessarily go that well. And some of God's responses, floods, fires, plagues, population annihilations, striking people dead, they didn't seem very everything is good-like either, did they? But coming out is never easy, for God or for anybody else. And remembering that we are created in and for goodness is not always easy either, because we hear a lot of negative messages. Last Thursday was National Coming Out Day. We've heard many coming out stories. Some are tragic and others are joyful. And some are just, oh, by the way. I think our daughter's coming out fell into that last category. We as a reconciling congregation have committed ourselves to the belief that we all are created in the image of God, and that each of us, each of our created beings, is indeed very good. To use the theme for our worship series, we believe that each person has sacred worth. But to use one of those ugly, recently invented words, how do we operationalize that belief? Reverend M. Barclay, a queer Methodist clergy person who writes some amazing worship resources, explains the system that she and her best friend used to invite each other to come out and play. She writes this: "When I was a kiddo, one of my best friends lived just next door. We spent a lot of time together, and their house was a second home for me. But there were some understood boundaries. We knew not to ring doorbells too early, but we weren't sure exactly what too early was. We knew not to ring doorbells too late, but we weren't really sure what too late was either. And we knew on holidays it might not be appropriate to ring doorbells, but there was a chance that maybe we could play at the right unknown time. In hopes of being respectful, but also communicating availability and the desire to play, we had an unspoken system. In the road between our houses stood a basketball hoop. The sound of the ball bouncing, ricocheting off the backboard, the very occasional swoosh, all functioned as a message. Come out and play if you can. Come out and play. If you do, you don't have to worry. I'm already here. Come out and play. If you can't, I understand." It was a pretty foolproof system. There was no way to answer the sound of the ball beating against the ground incorrectly. It was just an assurance and an invitation when and if play was desired. My wife Jeannie tells me she could never go over to the neighbor's house first. Even if the neighbor was outside, she couldn't join without a specific invitation. Those were the rules in her house. It's too bad she didn't have a basketball hoop. How do we let LGBTQ persons know that this is a safe space, a place where their sacred worth is understood, a place that they could call home no matter what they have heard from or been told by church people before? Lynn and Kelly said it was the rainbow banner that drew them in. Many straight and cisgender folks are also drawn in by the banner because they too want to worship where everyone is welcome. When we were discussing becoming a reconciling congregation, some people said, "Why do we have to do that? Everybody's already accepted here now." That may be true, but for people who have been battered and bruised by the church before, there's no incentive to walk in the door without some hopeful sign. Banners might give persons the courage to walk in the door. M. Barclay and her neighbor understood the basketball invitation. But our banner invitation needs to be interpreted and acted on because we've just met. Person has just walked in the door. Bishop Karen Oliveto, our only out Methodist bishop, tweeted this message on National Coming Out Day, reflecting on Jesus' raising of Lazarus from the dead. Jesus calls out to Lazarus as he calls out to all of us, "Come out." But Jesus also reminds us that the beloved community is required to join in and help. Jesus says, "Unbind him." We would say, "Unbind them," and "set him free." Lazarus comes to life but the community is called upon to unbind his grave clothes. Jesus directed his friends and family to unbind those clothes so Lazarus could truly come to life. Jesus' command, come out, was not enough. It took a village. So our job is to be home for their authentic selves and their families, to be here to unbind folks and to set them free as they hear the call to come out. For those of us who are allies, whether friends or parents or perfect strangers, we often worry about getting it wrong. Gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, cisgender, straight, asexual, pansexual, intersex, the list seems to keep getting longer and longer. But last week we talked about boxes. Remember the video we watched last week? And people found that they really existed in many different boxes. It's kind of messy because we don't have, there's not a box that it has all our unique characteristics. We have to see that we belong in many boxes. So it's so messy that we need to take a simple approach. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. How can I help you feel at home? Of course, we'll make mistakes. Creation didn't always work out the way God had planned it either. Think duckbill platypuses. Lays eggs, has a beak, it's a mammal. You know, it's so confused. Each of our stories is continually unfolding. Remain open to the Spirit's guidance. Listen deeply. Bounce the ball. Trust. God is still. God is still writing your story. Quit trying to steal the pen. What does Reverend Barclay's story suggest? Bounce the ball. Bounce the ball. Like a dear friend others haven't met yet, bounce the ball. Wait with desire and anticipation and respectful consideration. Each thump is an expression of a holy calling. Come out and play, thump. We need you, thump. If you're worried, know that we're already here, thump. You won't be alone, thump. If you can't yet, we understand, thump. But we'll ask again soon. Because God created humans in God's own image, and because we are all very good. Amen.
Committed persons have been sharing God's love here in this place on the corner of University and Genesee Street for 150 years. You are now a part of that living tradition. We accept the challenge to continue the vision that they claimed so many years ago. Don't forget to put those attendance slips into the offering plate as it comes by. As the ushers collect our offering, the choir will sing John Rutter's All Things Bright and Beautiful.
To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things God has done. With his blood he has saved me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things God has done.
Please remain standing and join me in that prayer of dedication. We pray for the movement within our own hearts. We pray that we recognize the gifts we have been given. We refuse to be at the mercy of the way it is. We all have agency to be fully present and fully active in the world into which we now go. Amen. This world, dry land and water, day and night, sun and moon, plants and animals, people, us, is made to work as one. Creation rejoices with us when we are fully active and present in it. Please remain standing and join me in singing The Trees of the Field.
Let's go out with joy and be let forth with peace. The mountains and the hills before you, shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap, they'll clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the fields will clap their hands. The trees of the fields will clap their hands. We'll go out with joy.
Please feel free to join in the drumming in the front of the sanctuary right after the service. And now may the courage of the early morning's dawning and the strength of the eternal hills at noontime and the peace of the open spaces at evening's end, and the love of God abide in your hearts now and forever. Amen.